Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm excited about the kingdom of God. I'm excited about some of the changes that are happening in the midst of God's kingdom reality that's beginning to set in. And I believe that every believer, every one of us, need to experience a church without walls. Every one of us. To understand what it really means to walk in a kingdom understanding. And that God's kingdom is awakening. I believe the church. Because we're all supposed to flow in the midst of that. A scripture that we've shared here forever is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added on. And one of the reasons that God really highlighted that verse was because if we seek first the kingdom, if we really do, and not our own agenda, not our own thing, not our own church, if we seek first the kingdom, then we're going to be excited about every ministry and every church that advances in the ways of God. We're just going to be excited about it. There's not going to be jealousy. There's not going to be competition. There's not going to be lobbying to try to get this person to believe this or that, because we see the kingdom advancing. And so even a church without walls understands that God's kingdom is on the move right now in this season. Things are shaking. Things are changing, especially in the state of Indiana. And we sense it and we feel it, and it's something that we've prayed about forever. That God would begin to move and people would seek Him above everything, that they would have simplistic devotion to Him. All of our ministry, from healing and counseling, all the things we've done through the years, has been to get people to focus on Him, to make sure that He's the priority, that He is the one that they look to, that it's all about Jesus and it always will be. And even today, God is shaking things in our life to draw us back to that message that never leaves us. That message that never changes. And that message is that we would be devoted to Him with all of our heart. That Jesus would not be an add-on to our life through our daily routine. That He would be our everything in the midst of every day. And that's kingdom living. The church always met together. Whether it was from house to house or in the temple, they gathered together when the inception of the church. They never would forsake that. And so God is saying, you know what? We're just not going to fit Sunday morning into our schedule. We're going to live Sunday morning every day of the week. And that's what God is asking. That's what He's shaking. Because it doesn't work any other way. A church without walls. Church isn't what you do. It's not what you do. It's who you are. It's not about what the things that you do, even though that those things are important to God and to minister to the body of Christ, but it's who you are. It's who we are. If we are alive in Jesus, we're contending for something much, much more than what we have. If we are alive in Christ, and if we're seeking Him, what I've seen through Revive Indiana, I wanted to highlight that today, because what I have seen and what I have heard has been the kingdom of God going forth in the midst of the body of Christ. I don't hear much about this church and that church. I don't hear much about this worship team and that worship team. I hear about the kingdom of God advancing and people gathering together to see that happen. From the beginning, even when we first started, the meeting place was all about unity and crying out that it's all about Jesus. Didn't even want to mention anything about church. And I guarantee you that God is shaking us in such a way that our focus is on the king of the kingdom and not the church. Not the building, not the denomination, but the body of believers that make up the church of Jesus Christ. It's changing. It's shifting. And God wants us to let go of some things so we can move in the flow of His heart. John Johnson, will you come up? John was sharing with me as how he was out witnessing through Revive Indiana with some Amish folks and different people. And I said, man, can you just share that on Sunday morning, just a little bit of what that felt like, because you were outside the walls of the church doing what God called you to do in the midst of other brethren.
Okay. I just tried to think about what was the most profound thing that struck me over the times that I went out with different people. And probably it was just the joy of working with other people as a team when we'd go out. I'll just give you an example. We'd pray as a group. We'd get our team decided and we'd pray as a group. And then if I was leading the team, which I did maybe four times or so, I'd say, okay, now what strengths do you have? We'd ask each person in the group, what strengths do you have? Just, I'll give you an example. The last group I was in, there was a lady and a young 17-year-old guy, the lady's son, a retired pastor, and myself. So there was five altogether. So the lady was a nurse. She said, I'm a leader. I'm good at leading. The young man, he said, well, I've worked with the homeless. The pastor said, well, I'm good at counseling. And I said, I'm awkward at greeting people and stuff, but just get me to pray and I'll do all right. So we each shared our thing, and then we took our little paper. They have a little map, and they sent us to an area. Well, so when we went out this last time, we didn't even end up in that quite. We were close, but not quite in that area. We went to that area, drove around praying, and then so who gets something? Well, in this case, the 17-year-old boy says, I think we should go back by McDonald's and park over there. And that's kind of where they had done some homeless ministry there in that area. And so it was just neat. Oh, so we had about an hour at that point. And the first thing that happened was when we got out, one of them was wearing a T-shirt, and somebody that was walking along said, hey, are you guys from Revive Indiana? You know, so we had a little time just meeting other people from somebody we'd never met, fellowship with them for a while. And then, so over the course of the next hour, I spent about, probably half an hour to 45 minutes just sitting with a guy who was homeless there by the Riverwalk in Elkhart. And we just talked. And then two other people from the team, well, the rest of the team, they went down to where some people were fishing. And lo and behold, they met a couple. Just happened that the lady she had diabetes real bad, and because she wasn't financially able, she was off her medication. So guess what? Mrs. Nurse kicked in right there. You better get back on your medication. She gave her some money to get back on medication. They just had a really neat time. They prayed with them at the end. That would be kind of, I'd say, routine, if you want to use that word. It was just really neat. It was, in some ways, it didn't seem like super spiritual, but it was awesome. People's hearts open up. I'll give you an example here. I haven't really ministered to homeless people that much. I don't know what to say. I didn't know how to go about it. But I feel, okay, if I'll just take a step and put myself in his proximity, sit on the bench with him. You know, it was a little bit rough getting started. What do I say? Is this okay to say? You know, you didn't know quite what to talk about or whatever. But pretty soon we were talking about everything from where we grew up to cars to who knows what. And after a while, I looked over and sure enough, he had a bracelet on. So he already had been, someone else had shared a bracelet with him from Revive, which is the gospel, kind of the core of the gospel. In my spirit, it was like, I could tell that was kind of, when I began to talk about spiritual things, he just wasn't ready to go there. So it was like, I didn't feel like I could sit there and, you know, just punch a bunch of things down his throat. So I just listened and talked, and I just loved on him. I just listened to him. And I felt like that was what the Lord would have done. And so in each situation, we kind of played it different. And then on the way back home, we were, the cool part too is just the whole, the debriefing and getting to know each other as a team. So on the way back home, I discovered that this young man that was in the car with me, he was the son of an installer that I'd worked with when I started installing flooring. So it's just really cool stuff like that. You meet people, you labor with them, you don't know who they are. it was just
neat. Didn't
nobody ever mentioned anything really about denominations. I think we did say that most of us have Mennonite in our history, Mennonite background, which I do too. So, but it was really I couldn't tell you where the rest of them went to church now. I don't know if we even talked about that at all. That wasn't really an issue at all.
You sat down with the Amish guy the first time when you were ministering with the Amish family. What that did to you? You thought, all of a sudden, here I am with this Amish guy, and you guys are sharing the gospel. Do you remember that story you told
me? Yeah. I've always kind of wondered where the Amish are at inwardly, because they don't really open up that much about their faith and their walk and that kind of thing. So, and then on another outing, we got sent by a lady who owned a bookstore. We went to her bookstore. We got to talking to her. We asked her if she could know of anybody in the area. She said, well, my grandpa lives in the area, and he's Amish. So we got sent to there. We took some cookies and we took some coffee. We went out there. And we spent probably an hour just, first off, we played the Mennonite game, which I don't know if you, how many of you know what the Mennonite game is? Raise your hand. Okay, the Mennonite game is, if you got Mennonite heritage, you're all connected somewhere in there. So you start talking about your relatives. Oh, that's my cousin, that's this, that's that. All right, so we did that for about 15, 20 minutes or maybe more. Pretty soon it kind of died down. And then it was like the Lord just prompted me to ask him a question, like, something along the lines of, he was in his 80s, so I said something like, do you have any life experiences that you, what would you share with, some life experiences you'd just share with us? We're interested in what God showed you over your life, you know. And it was like, he just opened his heart up and just began to share. And so we spent the next half an hour, 45 minutes, just going deep spiritually as far as just the real... the things that, the lessons of life, so precious to them and to us that they had learned. And it was just like, it was amazing. Know how open, because they loved Jesus, even though they were had been raised differently, they probably had some different doctrines than us. They had some different emphasis, maybe. Some different emphasis than us. We had the neatest time of just touching hearts and fellowshipping, and it kind of blew me away. As far as where, you know, the Amish have a very deep, you know, every day they go out there and they are testifying that they don't love the world. They've chosen, I will not love the world. And they'll stand for Jesus. I mean, I know there's a lot of religious stuff mixed all in there. But if you get to the heart of who they are and what they're doing, they chose a long time ago to stand for Jesus. And so I was just impressed with that. They really, the Amish really have something to share with the church as far as community and faith and witness and testimony and faithful endurance. Amen. Faithful endurance. So we've got a lot to learn. Oh, man, we do. We all have our part to share. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
That was good. I know you could have went for 15 easily. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll have it up on the screen too, verses 26 through 29. When I hit this verse really jumped out at me yesterday and today. And it's a verse that's probably well known. But it's something that I believe is definitely happening, that the Lord is moving and shaking things right now. Starting with verse 26, it says, "And his voice shook the earth then. But now he was promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Look at this verse. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." A consuming fire. A shift is happening in the way that we do church. A shift is happening. And God's grace and understanding is being released to bring forth a kingdom church. I believe God is building kingdom churches as we speak, as we share, shifting us. What used to be might have been good. God did a lot of different things in the midst of that. But there is a changing and a shifting of the focus of the kingdom of God. And we're beginning to see that. God's kingdom is coming to the forefront of who we are in the midst of crisis happening all over the world. We see things shaking. We see things changing. And all of a sudden, people aren't so concerned about what religion they're part of. They're concerned about knowing Jesus and being close to Him and knowing His kingdom and being faithful to it. Things are shifting and changing. It's happening. A shaking the way we do church. Are you ready for it? Can you change in the midst of it? Can you let go of some old things and be open to what God's heart is and what He's doing in this hour? Can you press in and pray? Can you say, Jesus is not an add-on to my life. Jesus is my life every day. So I don't do church and fill it into my schedule. I am the church and I do it every day. And that's what He's asking. That's what He's challenging us. He's wanting to shake us away from any mediocrity. He's wanting to shake us from being asleep and being alive in the light and being alive with the fire of God within us. And it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter who we're with, but that He overflows through us in the midst of wherever we are because we are the church. I'm not putting anything down. I'm just trying to bring that reality to the forefront that this shaking is really happening, and I want you to be aware of it so that you can see it. Because the way we perceive to do church is shifting. And God's, I believe, His mercy is orchestrating this type of change. God's mercy is orchestrating it. God's kingdom is coming to the forefront. And I thought, well, I need to define that. So I just define it this way. The king, Jesus, is being honored first over every church in a city, a region, a state, or a nation. That's how I see it happening. That He's being honored over everything. We are the church, but He's being honored and glorified. The church in the West, not all, but for the most part, has fallen asleep. It doesn't take a prophet to tell you that the church has been in a state of lukewarmness. And a lot of that has to do with a self-serving gospel. That we want so much to be served instead of serving and laying our life down. Self-preservation, self-preserving. God's call to us, and this is so heavy that I want to keep it before you. And before myself, every day, God's call to us is to lay our life down. To lay our life down. If we can give our life away, we can save it. If we try to save our life, we're going to lose it. And God's challenging us. I said this a few times, and I'll probably say it a few more. Many people sign up for ISIS because of the fact that every one of us was created to lay our life down for something. It's in our DNA. And because many people want to be part of a cause and they feel like they're in a dead-end space, they try to join up with something that radical and that evil. It's what's happening. God calls us to give our lives away completely. When we, the church, get in touch with how much He loves us, it changes everything. When we get in touch again, because the enemy's strategy is to get you so far away from the love of God that you don't experience it anymore. That you're numb. That you feel ashamed. That you move away from Him. That it's been too religious. All I've gotten is condemnation. But when you experience the love of God and He begins to pour His love on you and you sense it and you know it and you know it's real, everything begins to accelerate in your life because of God's love for you. And the church that's moving forward is an acceleration. Turn to Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. In the midst of this acceleration, this scripture is very powerful, and I think it has to do with where we are. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I ask you, do you see it? Do you sense it? Do you perceive it? That things are shifting and changing around you. That God's kingdom is beginning to move forth. God's desire is for us to awake and to live in anticipation. And part of that anticipation is the day of the Lord. That so many people don't really want to talk about. That don't want a whole lot of teachings about the day of the Lord. Because of a self-serving gospel. I want to do my thing. I want all this stuff to come my way before Jesus comes back. The greatest thing that could ever happen to us is that he would come back. And then he would drive out all the evil off the planet and his kingdom would begin to reign. As the Israelites thought in his first coming. And so this is an exciting time, the day of the Lord. God's accelerating our heart to be joyful and to be happy and to know that Jesus is really coming back. And you know, I shared this a few days ago on a Tuesday night, and this is the first time I've got to speak since I went on a wild week going from place to place and God downloading some things. I can't even begin to get into that this morning. But God was really accelerating my heart and speaking to me about what's going on and how much we need to be in that place of knowing him and being with him. Man, it's just so upon us. The shaking, the things are happening. And so I shared this thought that is really, I think it's factual. When you look at the book of Daniel or look at the book of Zechariah or Joel or you go into Isaiah, if you look at the prophets, you see the prophets, they say many different things and they give many warnings in preparation for the times in Israel and the Mideast and the body of Christ. There's all that in there. But if you really look at all the prophets, they're speaking about three major things. It's the highlight of all the books of the prophet and the book of Revelation in the New Testament. It's the highlight. And these are the three major things, the big picture of Daniel, of Zechariah. Especially I know Zechariah because of studying it so much. But these are the three big things. One is the coming of the Messiah. It all emphasizes the coming of the Messiah. And the second major big picture of all the prophets speak about the day of the Lord. His return. That he's coming. It's the big picture of all the prophets. And then the third thing it speaks about is the millennial reign with him. And so sometimes we're so focused on so many things and all the prophets are screaming at us to return to him, to be close to him, to return to him with all of our heart because the Messiah has come and the Messiah is coming back. The King of glory is coming back. And that should excite us. It shouldn't be a place of fear. It should be a place of joy and love and saying, yes, he's coming. That's where we should live. You see, when you live with the expectancy of who Jesus is every day, that has to fill your heart. Because you're like anticipating. He's coming. He's coming back. And so if all the prophets are speaking about the coming of the Messiah, the day of the Lord, and the millennial reign, I want to know something about that. I want to live in that anticipation. Most of you have lived in this world long enough to know that it doesn't have a whole lot to offer compared to him. Oh, we should just get this glorious shout and dance and crazy and hitting everybody in the back of the head. That's how it should be. Are you kidding me? And that's what's available. And that's why the kingdom of God is breaking out everywhere. It's coming outside the four walls of the church. The way that we've done things, God's shaking it. And shaking us into this gaze and this view upon the beauty of the Holy One, Jesus. Lives are changing. Lives are shifting. We need more of him in our midst. And that's a huge deal. The longing for more of the real thing is what's happening within the body of Christ. They're tired. They're hungry. They're getting passionate. They want to accelerate in who they are. And they want more of him. More of him. We were singing about it today, about being hungry and thirsty. I am thankful. Listen, I'm thankful for all that we as a ministry have participated in. But we're not even close to where he wants us to be. And where we were all meant to be in the power and the glory and the grace of God. That doesn't diminish our progress It just highlights our need for more. Michael sung about it. The team sung about it. Our need for more. And letting him just mess up your day. Let him mess up your day every day. Let him just start leading you around. Just ask him to lead you and to guide you. Let him just mess up your day. Let him interfere with what you do in your schedule. And watch what he does. He'll mess up your day. It will happen. This should be an ongoing thing within our life. The church is radically changing. And I just kind of coined this phrase. Don't hold me to it. But the second coming church. I feel that was what God was saying. You're a part of the second coming church. You're a part of the kingdom advancing and preparing for the return of the bridegroom conquering King Jesus. Church as we know it, I believe, is about radically changing. Some more than others. For the most part, and I'm not saying everybody, but for the most part, I feel that we're partially incapable of dealing with the crisis that's coming because of our root system and our deep intimacy with God. For the most part. And it's not like things aren't going to shake and move and change. It's upon us. Change is upon us. And I think that I'm only one voice in the midst of many, many voices, and probably many voices in this room that are speaking some of the same things. Joel 2:15-17, we prayed that scripture over and over and over. I think it's being sounded as an alarm to the Western church to wake up, to blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm. I don't know about you, but an alarm is an awakening thing. Annoying sometimes, right? Annoying, but it's, okay. Put it off. He's sounding the alarm. He's saying, wake up. Turn to me with all of your heart. Now, this word, it's kind of the first time I used this word. I was thinking about it. Consumerism. And I kind of wanted to label a little bit of the church in the West being caught up in consumerism. Meet my needs, or I'm going to go somewhere else. Give me what I need, or I'm going somewhere else. Not finding our rest in Jesus and our answer in Him. Now, I'm really going to date myself. I erased this and I wrote it back down. I erased it and wrote it back down. How many of you remember the show The Love Boat? Oh, see? Okay. Yeah. Your hands went up quick. You must have watched it a lot. But anyway, there's this old show. And for those of you that have no clue of what I'm talking about, it's called The Love Boat. And basically, in a short definition, it's a cruise ship that everybody goes on this cruise, and everybody on the ship gets pampered. Is that a good definition? Everybody gets, everything's got to be just right. And everybody gets pampered on this cruise ship. Well, I kind of sense that that's been the church. That we've wanted to be pampered. When God has not called us to the love boat, but He's called us to a fishing boat that's motivated by love. Where everyone, what John just shared, where everyone is working together to help catch and clean the fish. Everyone giving their all to see the kingdom advanced and playing their part no matter what that part is. So God hasn't called us to the love boat. God has called us to the fishing boat that is empowered by love and the love of God. And that's the shift. That's part of the shift that's going on. That might become its own separate message someday. My series. With Christians no longer being, listen to this one. With Christians no longer being persecuted, a sense of cultural ease is upon us. And that's where the shaking is going to take place. A cultural ease is upon us. This turned my head when the man that was leading a seminar that I went to called Crisis Response International, when he was speaking, and this man has the life in his past and in his present. He has the fruit of being a group of people that really want to help. just recently to validate this group, Crisis Response International. They were 10 miles on the front lines from ISIS in Iraq. And they were with Christians that were living there. And they were praying. And the information was given to them, they need to get out now. They would not leave. They started intercessors and people praying all over the United States and houses of prayer, crying out for these people, okay? Crying out for them. And they stayed 10 miles from ISIS. And they prayed with these Christians, and ISIS was held back, and everything ended up in a good, good way. So these people are on the front lines. These people have come to the point saying, and he went over and over. He was very kind to the Western church, but he's going over and over saying the fact that if you're not willing to lay your life down for something, if you don't give your life away, you're going to lose it. If you try to save it, okay, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you give it away, you're going to gain life. I'll get to that scripture in a minute. And so as he spoke, but he also said this, he said, if you don't have a group of people that are praying and worshiping, a canopy of prayer over whatever you're doing, not just a few minutes, although those small prayers matter, but he's saying to have people praying and interceding. If you're not in the place of loving God and loving others, you can't do this kind of ministry because fear will creep in. And fear is very, very unhealthy compared to the healthiness of love. And willing to lay your life down. And so when these people were speaking to me, man, I was kind of blown away at some of the things they were saying. And this was the point that he said. He said, I've been all over the world. I was at Sandy. I was at Katrina, 9/11, da-da-da. This is what we do. And they're training people even right now in Memphis, Tennessee. And he said this. He said, in China, I've been in China. And I've encountered the church many times in China. And guess how the people are praying in China for the American church? They're praying for us. And guess what they're praying for us? They're praying that we will be persecuted. I was like, oh, yay. You know, that's what you feel like you're thinking some kind of cool thing is coming, you know? And I'm going, that you'd be persecuted. Because they understand what the persecution has done in their midst to take them deep in relationship with Jesus and how they're shining like gold with faith before the people. Then he started saying this, are you some of those folks that just pray for everything to be good? He said, how about praying for the trials and the things to come into your life that will shape you more like him? That'll shake you. That'll move you. Church seems to be more something that you is. Church seems to be more something that you do, and I want to hit this point rather than who you are. Ministry becomes something that this is so powerful, man. Something that professionals do. That's dying, man. Something. Oh, the professionals do that, and we're just going to sit here and listen to the professionals. First of all, if you call me a professional, you've really lost your definition. But that all the Christians just kind of sit and take it all in. No, we're all called to minister. I honor the offices of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. But we're all called to be a part of this fishing boat and moving forward. I know I'm running out of time. Let me just finish this up. Church can become, again, I said, a time slot. We can't have that. Jesus can't be an add-on. The early church met daily from house to house in the temple courts. No one was in need because the people of the land would lay down their lives. Some would even sell all that they have to help them. You got to ask yourself the question as I wind this up. Are you a spectator? Jesus is continually challenging us of what it really means to be a disciple. Are you a disciple? Are you discipling? He lays down the requirements, and I'll end with this. He lays down the requirements by calling us to daily denial, discipline, and devotion. It's found in Luke 9, 23 and 24. Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Discipleship is radical. It's in the midst of God's grace and his love. But really, if you want to have a joyful life, you know, you can go along just as you're going along. But if you want to have a joyful life, your life has to be full of a participation of Jesus within your life. And access to your life. God is speaking to our culture. Our culture's position for revival. It is to receive the gospel. Because we've been self-seeking. Because things are going to be shaken. And why is the kingdom advancing? Because the kingdom is unshakable. The sleeping giant will wake up and stand up in a passionate, radical Christianity that should be really our normal lives. And so in closing, I say this. Look for these three things to happen in your life and in the body of Christ as the kingdom begins to move forward. Look to see, number one, an acceleration of things beginning to happen. An acceleration of devotion to Jesus. And a devotion of God's people to him and to one another. Look for participation. That we're more involved with the relationship we have with him. And we begin to be more community-minded and heartfelt community than we've ever been in our lives. To prepare places of refuge. So that we're ready to walk through anything together by his grace and mercy. Acceleration, participation, and the last thing is live in the place of reality. What worked before may not work today. A major, major, mega shift is happening to our culture. You hear it everywhere. A divine dismantling to the doorway of the kingdom. Kingdom churches opening. Why don't you stand? I believe that through the worship that God has been touching all of you and speaking to you and encouraging you. And this message is an encouraging message of all that's available to you. In order for something new to live, something old needs to give. In order for something new to live in you, something old needs to give. Something is going to have to go for the new life, the abundance of Christ, to have his way within us. A position of laying things down. Not just preconceived notions of how to do church, but what God is really saying. The Holy Spirit inviting him to come and breathe a fresh wind in our sails. So let's, as a people, let's always speak about the kingdom. Let's always speak about the body of Christ. Let's not get focused on, well, you know, this church is doing that and that church is doing that. You know what I say? I might be wrong, but when you do games like that, you're a divider, not a unifier. You're a divider. Oh, you think it's cool, and you think you're pointing somebody in the right direction. But you know what? Every body of Christ has different things to offer. Every one of them. So don't be a divider, be a unifier. Repent. That's what he's asking. You can't hide it from him. Just repent and ask him to heal you and to direct you with a kingdom heart, an eternal mindset. Hear the train? The train's coming, man. The whistle's blowing. That's your prophetic sign. There's no train out there, really. That's just, you know, I'm just kidding. Don't try to make it better than it was. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking, as I come before you on behalf of the people standing in this room, I'm asking for faith to arise. I'm asking, God, that we would rest in the ability of who you are and what you can do. We're asking, God, for you to make it happen as we participate in a big yes. And we look at Luke chapter 9. And we know, God, that this is truth. That we need to be a people that would give our lives away, not try to save it. So, Lord, we lay it down. Holy Spirit, breathe and blow a fresh wind into the sails of every boat that's represented here, every family, every individual. I sense I hear the Spirit saying, don't listen to those lies. Move on now to the new thing that God has for you. Grab hold of it. You're not alone. You are not alone. So, Lord, we pray for every church and ministry throughout this entire region and state. We ask that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and know that all things would be added on. That we would be those who speak about your kingdom advancing in this day and the days forward. And we'd be a humble people living in your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.